Right, good morning and welcome to EMP. We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 10, verses 17 through 48. And this is really, for me, the conclusion of this story between Peter and Cornelius. And so this is really part two on the role of prayer in tearing down the walls of hostility in our lives. And so let me just pray as we go into God's word this morning. Father, thank you for your presence in this place where we could find rest, where we could find refuge for our lives, where we could find courage and boldness for what you have called us to do. And so, Father, I just pray that this morning that our hearts would be open to what you want to say through your word as we continue to just grow in our life of prayer. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So up to this point, it's just been this amazing story between Peter and Cornelius. And really, just to share the context of what we now are going to read to in terms of what has brought these two men together, is that we see that Peter started this journey of journeying through parts of Israel and encountering Dorcas and raising her up to life. And during that time, an angel of the Lord appears to Cornelius and speaks to him about what he's supposed to do. And then during that time as well, then Peter gets a vision as well, as to this vision of unclean and clean. And Peter is perplexed by that vision. But God is speaking to these men at individual times, but about to accomplish the same thing in their lives. And so God is bringing these two lives together. And so when we read chapter 10 and verse 17, there's so much already that has happened in the life of Cornelius and Peter. And really, the biblical truth here in this story is that prayer always positions us to receive and to hear from God, for God then to do his work in us, to be able to then work through us in our lives. And so this, at this point of the story, we really reach the climax of this story of Peter and Cornelius. We've read the story of Peter's individual journey. We read the story of Cornelius' individual story. But this is now the climax of God bringing these two individuals together. And so everything that has happened has been leading up to this moment between Cornelius and Peter. And that's where we read from in Acts chapter 10, verses 17 through 48. And I'll read from here, starting with verse 17. It says, Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without doubt, for I have sent them. And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I too am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the house. So I went for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore we are all here in the presence of God to hear all you have been commanded by the Lord. So Peter opened his mouth and said, Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people for who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. And so this is now the full story of this climactic moment of Peter and Cornelius coming together. And looking through these verses, we see that starting in verse 17, that after Peter had received this vision in prayer, it says that Peter was deeply perplexed by the vision and what it might mean. And so maybe in your life, have you ever been perplexed by what God has revealed to you and what it might mean in your life? You know that he's spoken to you, but you're still unsure of what he has revealed to you. And so Peter, in this moment that he's received this vision and he's perplexed by what it might mean. And so normally, what is our response in the moments of perplexion is something I think that is worth reflecting on. And I think it's comforting that here is Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus who walked with him, that even him who hears and sees a vision is still perplexed. And so I'm humbled by that, that when maybe sometimes God speaks to me, I still don't fully understand and perplexed by what he says to me. And so here Cornelius' men show up to the door and they find Peter. And Peter was thinking about the vision. And it says that the Spirit told him about the men who had come looking for him. And so here Peter is perplexed, but he's thinking about what God has spoken, about what God has spoken to him, about what God has revealed to him. And I think sometimes when God speaks to us and reveals something to us, we just kind of like, okay, that's cool, move on, or, oh, I didn't understand it, let it go. But here we see that Peter can't move away from this moment But in the same moment, we see that it is the Spirit guiding and instructing Peter. That the Spirit told him that there were men that had come looking for him. And so the Spirit is guiding and instructing Peter, and he's instructed to accompany this man without hesitation or without no doubt at all. Okay? That's what it says here, is like, go with these men without hesitation, without no doubt at all. And I think that's sometimes important, not that doubt may always be wrong in our lives, but there's also a moment where doubt can be a stumbling block in our lives. Because sometimes God speaks to us, but if we begin to doubt, then we give space to disobedience or not to follow through on what God has said to us in our lives. And so doubt can have a proper place in our lives, just as Thomas doubted Peter when Jesus rose again. But here in this place, in this moment here, we're seeing that there is no room for doubt or hesitation, because sometimes doubt can be that, just that quick moment of doubt of, let's just say God says go, and you begin to just wrestle through every doubt. Then it could be that moment of doubt and hesitation that hinders our obedience. And so here the men are explaining the situation to Peter, and the experience that Cornelius has had that has led them to this moment of them arriving to his door. And so Peter invites these men to stay with him for the day. And the next day, along with other believers, Peter takes other believers along with them, and they head out. And at that moment, Cornelius is gathering his relatives, he's gathering his friends to be able to hear Peter and the message that Peter is going to bring. And so you can see almost that the heart that Cornelius has of the message that Peter is bringing, that he's like, okay, it's not just about me receiving it, but he's inviting his family, he's inviting his friends to come and hear what Peter is going to say. And here's an interesting response, that the moment that Cornelius sees Peter, it says that he worshiped him, but we see that Peter rejects the gesture and says, stand up, for I too am a man. And I thought this was an interesting moment here, because I think sometimes when we live in obedience to God, the spotlight turns to us sometimes. And it is easy and tempting for a sense of either self-righteousness or pride to attempt to sneak into our lives and to accept the worship and adoration that people wish to give us. And to enjoy the praises that belong to God, and for us to want a little bit of the adoration. And so here, Peter has obeyed and has gone with these men, just as the Spirit has led Peter. And Cornelius, at the moment he sees it, he worships him. It seems like he falls on the ground and Peter raises it. And I think, and like I'm saying, sometimes when we're obedient to God, the spotlight can turn on us. And we, let's say God tells you, moves you in a way to pray for someone that needs healing, and you pray for them, and that person becomes healed, and that person goes, wow, you are so amazing. And that part, that all of a sudden, that adoration, that worship of like, you, it's easy to begin to think, it's like, yeah, you are right. I am worthy of this, of what is being given to me at this moment. But I do think there is a difference and a distinguishment between us receiving a compliment and someone beginning to adore us and essentially, I think, especially in ministry or when we're serving a lot, to place us in a position of I would say idolatry in someone's life, where they begin to look at us rather than to look to God. And I think Peter does something incredible here, and he reminds a man and he says, get up, because I too am a man. And I think this is just something extra for us to be careful in our lives as we're serving God and we're living lives of obedience, that yes, sometimes the spotlight may turn on us and there might be the temptation to want to receive that worship and adoration. But it is for us to remain humble, because we too are men, just as Peter says here. And I like the story of P. Sam of a few weeks ago, of how he talked about the faucet and the source. That really it wasn't about the faucet, but it was about the source. And there's something humbling about, at the end of the day, as much as obedience plays a role in our lives, at the end of the day, we are still just the faucet in someone's life. And it takes humility to be able to recognize that, especially in the midst of people wanting to adore us and shower us with so much things, and for us to begin to think that we're more than that faucet in our lives. But Peter here catches that and he corrects that as well. And I think sometimes that we need to correct that in people's lives when they put us in places where we don't belong. And so Peter here continues the explanation. And so here, Peter, now here is, in terms of what's happening here, Peter now has arrived at the house of Cornelius. And Peter gives an interesting explanation, because for him, he's being challenged in terms of a Jewish man. Because he lets Cornelius know that the role of a Jewish man was not meant to associate or visit a foreigner. So you can imagine that Peter is arriving to this house of a Roman centurion, and Peter has all this historical, personal, cultural baggage with him, because he understands that it is not right as a Jewish man to enter this man's house. Okay? But here's the amazing thing is that in terms of this, is that there were traditions of purity which made it virtually impossible for Jews to associate with Gentiles without becoming ritually unclean. And so we see that Peter is still in some way fully Jewish in terms of his traditions and practices. Okay? Even though Jesus had called him into the being part of the kingdom of God, there were still parts in Peter's lives that were still part of his old way of thinking. That were still a hesitation in his life to be able to receive what God was wanting to do next. And especially here, I think it's interesting, because here it's just part of the Jewish tradition. It's part of the Jewish law. They feel that what they're doing is a way of honoring, and that it is a way of honoring God. And I think this is sometimes for me personally where I fear the most for my life, is me thinking that what I'm doing is right, but may actually be wrong. And unless God reveals and corrects, then that's the only way for us to know. But what does it say? Peter's response. So Peter gives his explanation as to why he cannot, why he shouldn't enter this man's house. But then the next thing he says is, "But God has shown me." And I think that's the revelation that can only sometimes come unless we're in prayer and in position to receive and to hear from God, and for Him to show us the things that are hard for us in our lives to receive. And so Peter has his understanding. He knows what his hindrance is, but he's also confronted by what God has shown him in his life. And so the question for us is always, what will we respond what once God has revealed to us? Once He has shown us the posture of our hearts, or our way of thinking, or our way of living that does not align with what He is wanting to do in us and through us. And Peter here, he did not object, because God had revealed it to us. God had revealed it to him. And the question for us is sometimes, is God's revelation enough for us in our lives sometimes to obey? And so here Cornelius explains once again his story, his experience about him praying at home, and how God had stirred up his heart about God, how God had shown himself in a vision to go out and to reach out to Peter. About how God had initiated and instructed to orchestrate this encounter, this intersection of lives for a specific purpose, he affirms Peter by saying, "You did the right thing in coming." And so after that moment of this encounter of Peter and Cornelius, Peter then begins to share the gospel. And Peter then begins to say, "I could see now that God shows no favoritism, no partiality. He begins to understand what God is wanting to do. So he didn't understand the vision fully, but he can now at that moment understand what God was revealing to him before. And so we can see that his understanding preceded his obedience. That sometimes God reveals to us, and sometimes we may not understand, but what he's calling us to is that obedience, and that understanding comes later in our lives. And that's what we see in the life of Peter, that Peter was perplexed, he was thinking, he didn't understand, but he obeyed. And in that obedience and in that moment, he then begins to think, now I see what God is wanting to do. And so sometimes obedience, sometimes we don't understand, but our obedience must come in the midst of that. And so Peter begins to share the message of the gospel here. And in the tone of the message, he says, Peter is sharing the message, and he says, this message is for everyone, for Jesus is Lord of all. But in the tone of the message, Peter shares that it's for everyone. But in practicality, Peter had not made that application that the gospel is for everyone. Because up to that moment, Peter, for him, the gospel was only for Jews. Even though in his language and he understood that the gospel was for everyone, in his mind and his understanding was still mostly for Jews. That it wasn't really until this moment occurred in Peter's life that he understood that the gospel was really for everyone. Those outside of his sphere of influence, those outside of those that were like him, it was for literally everyone. And Peter at that moment can see that. And then we see the confirmation of the Holy Spirit falling in that moment to this Roman centurion and his relatives and his friends, people that we could assume are probably uncircumcised at that time, that really don't follow the Jewish law. And the Holy Spirit falls on them. And those that came with Peter are amazed, because they're like, the same Holy Spirit that fell on us is now falling on them. You see, there was a hostility and a hindrance in the life of Peter that didn't allow him to see that the gospel was for everyone and the Holy Spirit was for everyone. And part of that was Peter's traditional way of viewing things. But it wasn't until Peter went up to pray one day as part of his routine and God revealed to him something else. And I want to conclude with that. Going back to that really there's so many, and Pisam gave the example on Sunday of the different ingredients in our lives that make the cake. And in this story, there's so many ingredients. There's so many things of just obedience happening in terms of faith, of just making ourselves available. But for me, the focus has just been prayer. That prayer is a thing that when we have prayer be a part of our lives, it continually leaves us in a place and a position to receive and to hear from God in our lives, especially to be confronted by the things that maybe sometimes we're not willing to hear from others, but unless, as Peter says, but God has shown me. Sometimes those are the only things that change our heart and change our way of thinking and change our lives, is by God's revelation in our lives. Kind of reminds me of I remember when I was buying me and my wife were buying our wedding band, and we were at the store for almost about an hour, and she's like, oh, which one should I choose? Which one should I choose? And I told her, this is the one you should get. This is the one you should get. And then she calls her friends. And then after listening to her friends, she's like, I finally decided, because they told me this is the one. I was like, I've been telling you, this is the one you should get. And I think that sometimes happens in our lives, that sometimes we may have the people in our lives telling us the things that we need to do. But unless God reveals to us, sometimes our heart are in such a place that unless God's revelation is in our lives, it's hard for us to get to a place of obedience. And that's why prayer plays such a huge, crucial role in our lives. Because it constantly positions us in a place to say, God, examine my heart, and to receive from him. So let us go into a time of worship here and just reflect on this story of Peter. And and the obedience that was required of these men, and the different stories and the different backgrounds of God initiating and working through these men. And like I said, really, before God can work through the life of Peter, God needed to work in him. He needed to deal with that Jewish tradition of not being able to enter into a man's home. Because as long as Peter struggled with that idea, what was next in the next few verses? The sharing of the gospel. And I find that a beautiful thing, that sometimes there's things in our lives that are hindering us from really that next greater thing, which was the sharing of the gospel. That if Peter doesn't deal with that, there's no opportunity for the gospel to be heard. And so, for me, that's just an encouragement of in my life, of God revealed to me the things in my life, in my heart, in my way of thinking and living that are being a hindrance for people to hear the gospel of the next place you want to take me in obedience. And so as we go into this time of worship, let us just go before God and position ourselves to receive and to hear from Him what He wants to say to us this morning. we just pray that we continue to just cultivate a life of prayer in our lives, so we are positioned to hear what you have to say to us, to hear what you want to work in our lives before you can work through our lives, to reveal the hard things that we might just be too blind for ourselves or hard of hearing when others are speaking. But God, speak to us that just like Peter, that God has shown me. And when that revelation comes, that we would walk in obedience and have the courage to walk in that obedience. And so, Father, I thank you for the work that you're making us in us, because that work that you're doing in us is making us more like your Son, Jesus. And that's the life that you've called us to, is to be more like Christ. And so, Father, I just pray for those that are on the other side of our obedience, that are on the other side of us hearing your voice, that we would just obey quickly so we can share the gospel with them, so we can share what you have done for them on the cross, just as what you have done for us on the cross. And so, Father, I just pray for your goodness over our lives, for the gentleness, Holy Spirit, that you only can bring in our lives without judgment, without condemnation, to really bring change in our lives. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us go into our community prayer. Let's pray for those that have cancer and are going through radiation and therapy. Let's pray for those for non-cancerous related illnesses and also in need of salvation as well. Let's pray for those who have infirmities. those that are seeking job opportunities in this season. Focus today. Let's pray for our missions council. Pray for our local outreach. Pray for SP fam. Friday night gatherings. Father, we thank you for this time of prayer. Pray that as we go throughout our day, that you will be with us, leading us and guiding us, giving us the wisdom that we need as we go to work or to our homes or to school, wherever it may be. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. See you tomorrow. Oh, see you next week. Enjoy the rest of your prayer.